Thank you, Deputy Director Valesky. We look forward to seeing Martha at noon. And I gotta try not to be emotional about it, but I wanted to, I think about how pleased Mark Hinkle would be to see Commissioner McKean here. He's a man that we all miss. Okay, so with that, we'll move into the Enforcement Division. And the first item on the agenda under that topic is the Shields River.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Deputy Director Valesky, and Deputy Director Kuja. My name is Phil Kilbreth, for the record. I'm representing the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Enforcement Division headquarters. I am the Operations Sergeant, Boating Law Administrator, and a few other titles with enforcement. So I'm going to present the final presentation on the administrative rule to ban motorized use on the Shields River. The background on this, as the Commission is aware, on June 28th, the Commission received a rulemaking petition to ban motorized use on the Shields River from the headwaters to its confluence with the Yellowstone and all tributaries. The petition was submitted by Jeff Welch and several other co-petitioners, and accompanying the petition came with a letter of support signed by 49 persons. The petition referenced safety concerns with jet boats that can operate at high speeds within the current 10 horsepower restriction. The petition further states that motorized travel on a small stream creates potential for dangerous collisions between a jet boat, irrigation equipment, livestock, children, boaters, floaters, and fishermen. Currently on the Shields River, the portion that is in Park County has a 10 horsepower restriction to motor boats, and the part that are in Marr County do not. So the Commission voted to initiate rulemaking, and the department conducted a public comment period to evaluate this proposal. That period lasted 29 days and ended on October 9th. We also conducted a telephonic public hearing via Zoom on October 6th. 8 members of the public gave comment at our telephonic hearing, 1 in opposition and 7 in support. During the comment period, the Commission also received 3 letters from organizations representing large groups of people. 2 of these letters were in support and 1 was in opposition to the proposal. The Commission received 51 written comments supporting the proposed rule, including 1 comment submitted on behalf of the original petition signatories. The Commission also received 134 written comments in opposition to the proposed rule, and 1 petition or 1 written comment that suggested keeping the 10 horsepower rule in place, but prohibiting jet boats. So as you should all be familiar, the Commission can choose to adopt the rule as it stands, or the Commission may alter the rule based on public comment and adopt that. Alternatively, if the Commission chooses not to adopt the rule will remain the same as it is with the 10 horsepower restriction in parts of Park County, and no restrictions in the parts of the Shields River and Marr County. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks recommendation. While the Shields River has seen limited motorized use to date, the department recognizes that motorized use on this relatively small river carries the potential for public safety risk of accidents as described above. It also has the potential to create user conflicts with recreationalists and other users who are expecting a different types of experiences. Although motorized use additionally has the potential to facilitate public access to rivers, not every river or waterway in Montana is well suited to it. And a river the size of the Shields is at that threshold of providing practical and reasonable motorized use. Ultimately, this type of recreational use allowed on Montana's rivers is a social issue that falls within the purview of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. If the Commission chooses to adopt this limitation to address potential human safety concerns and conflicts, doing so now would install this prohibition before any next level of motorized technology becomes established. And I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that any of the commissioners may have.
Do we have any questions for Captain Kilbreth?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple.
Okay.
I'm curious, you know, we're looking at restrictions and whatnot, And I know in some streams in the state, we have put in no wake zones or prohibited jet boats. How would that affect, or would that be something that might work here? I think I've on record numerous times that say, I'm going to look at safety first. And that's my big concern here. But also multiple use is a big issue that I look at too. So I'm asking those questions, if they could be implemented and enforced, and if that would take care of some of the safety problems or not. So if you could answer that, I'd appreciate it.
So Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stuker, it's in some sense, I would say that to address the first part of your question about the types of tools we've used for addressing potential safety issues on different rivers. There's one section of river that I'm familiar with that's flowing water that we're referring to here, not a section of river that's barely flowing. It would have a no wake zone restriction to it. And that is the section of Missouri River below Hauser Dam. It's difficult to impose a no wake restriction on a moving water body, because in order to move up river, you naturally create a wake. Other cases on rivers we've done is the Shields has on the portion of Park County, we've implemented a horsepower restriction or no motorized or electric motors only. So I when it comes to safety issues or potential safety issues, it's difficult for me to answer that, because the main safety issue with boating in Montana on rivers is typically people get into problems not wearing a life jacket and they tip over out of their boat. Obviously, anytime you have motorized usage on a river, there's a potential for a collision as well. So there's a suite of options. A horsepower restriction is easy for enforcement to deal with, because we can look at the rated horsepower of an engine. A motor or electric versus gasoline engine restriction is easy to enforce, because we're able to tell right away whether or not it's something that we could, it's powered by gasoline or powered by an electric motor. As far as, and then obviously no motorized boats is easy too. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I, when it comes to rivers, enforcing those sort of things, it's, to me, it's horsepower restriction, no motors or electric motors are really the best tools to address that from an enforcement point of view, and from addressing the idea of what might be a potential safety issue.
Follow-up question? On the resource, how damaging is, especially in the low water periods, are some of these jet boats to the resource, the spawning beds, that type of thing?
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stuker, speaking to the region who manages this, and they may, a fisheries biologist or somebody from fisheries may be better able to answer this question, but speaking to them and preparing for this, as things currently are, I would say that it's a safe assumption that the resource is not being adversely impacted under the current restrictions. However, that does not mean that there's not a possibility for that to occur with an expanded usage. All the reasons you mentioned, especially at low water, there's potential for wakes disturbing shoreline habitat, shallow water. Anytime you bump a boat on the bottom of the water, or you create a high pressure flow of water from a jet or propeller, all of those things have the potential to create habitat damage in a river environment. I would probably defer, or could get back to you with an answer more specific from fisheries on that.
We've got Eileen and Eric. Eileen, Eric, do either of you want to weigh in on that?
Morning, commissioners, Chair Colton, Commissioner Stuker, thanks for that question. Sergeant Kilbreth answered it fairly well. Our biggest concerns with things like wake or disruption from motorboats would be erosion to banks. Certainly there are areas where we are concerned that bank erosion could be of concern. I know Sergeant Kilbreth worked closely with the fisheries staff. So I don't know the specifics for this particular area, but I know the fisheries staff would have taken that into consideration when helping enforcement with their recommendation.
Thank you. No further questions at this time.
Any other questions from the commission for Captain?
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Having spent a lot of time on the Shields River in an electrofishing boat and towing a little crawdad around, I know that other than at the peak of runoff, there's just too much debris. It's just too dangerous for people to float pretty much in general. And then at low water, which starts early in the Shields, usually by mid-June, it would take a very specialized watercraft to move upstream. And even then, only as far as the Chadburn diversion, which is only about 6 river miles upstream, the Chadburn diversion would be require people to get up, if you're in a hand launched boat, to move a kayak or something around it is one thing, but to there's no way you could get a jet boat above that. So that said, there's plenty of access, bridge accesses, incrementally, usually 3 to 5 miles apart, where you could easily drop in a handheld boat or inner tube. But to put a jet boat on that river it's just impractical most of the time. And so I feel like a lot of the negative comments were based on principle. And this, I'll get to my question, Mr. Kilbreth. Based on principle rather than practicality. So, Ms. Kiffin, with that in mind, just the limitations, are there other streams that these small streams where jet boats are common and have not caused a safety issue or have caused a safety issue?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Byers, it's an interesting question. Generally speaking, across most of the state, there are not restrictions to jet boating on most of the rivers in the state or motorized boating in general. I think that's a somewhat of a difficult question to answer in that most of those other places where it's allowed, it doesn't occur, or it occurs in a very low volume of activities and to the point where in some cases we may not even know about it. So I would say, just based on my understanding of the way boating occurs statewide, where it's legal, there's minimal impact because it generally doesn't happen. Hopefully that answered your question.
So on the Yellowstone River, just, the Shields comes into the Yellowstone just below Livingston. Jet boats are allowed on the Yellowstone River, are they not?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Barth, I believe they are on that lower section. There may be a horsepower restriction if it's in Park County as well. I'd have to double check on that boating regulation. But the type of jet boats that were specifically addressed that are meeting the 10 horsepower would be allowed.
So in other words, we wouldn't be foreclosing a significant recreational resource for Montanans to use power boats in that area if the Shields were close to motorized boats.
Mr. Commissioner, or Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Byers, I suppose that's a matter of opinion of whether you're somebody that uses that particular stretch of river, but taken as a whole across the state, I would say probably not.
Are there comments or questions from the commission? Captain Kilbert. Go ahead, Andy.
Mr. Chairman, I did have a question for the sergeant, and that is, it's kind of tears off what Commissioner Byers has asked. Is this a solution in search of a problem in the sense that the practicality issue that Commissioner Byers mentions, I think, is a really well-placed question. Not knowing the Shields nearly as well as Commissioner Byers from an on-the-water perspective, it does appear that there's probably a limited seasonality when motorized craft could be used. I just would love to have some better understanding of the problems that are being solved with this.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McKean, the original petition that came in was addressing or brought up something that essentially there's a 10 horsepower restriction that currently exists on the river, and there are some jet boats that have been described as new technology or emerging technology, and they've also been described as old technology that's been repurposed, and they're essentially a very small, like little tiny aluminum piece of molded or shaped aluminum with a 10 horsepower engine in them and a jet drive on them that are being used to operate on this river. We've verified that. I are speaking to our warden over in that area that he has encountered those on a few occasions on the river. And so those things are operating on the river on some occasions, and they are meeting the 10 horsepower requirement that's in place here. So whoever has built these things has essentially come up with something that operates within the current rules and is using them on the river. I, as far as calling it a solution and or a problem in search of a solution, or either way you want to look at it, I'm not sure that I really feel comfortable speaking to that. It's somebody is done something that operates within the rules, and now it's an issue of other people are saying, well, maybe that's not the best usage for this. So it sort of comes back to our presentation of this being a social issue between, you know, the interest in one type of use versus another type of use on a particular river.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I might just add, you know, part of this is exactly what Sergeant Kilbreath has described in the way of existing or repurposed technology. There's also an element of this of coming technology or technology that we've seen in other rivers or in other states, like a motorized surfboard, essentially. And those sorts of things. And this has real parallels to our next conversation, which is, you know, archery let off. We know how that has gone over the years, and it's often very difficult, you know, same thing with drones, same thing with a number of things. It's often anticipating what the technology is before a use gets beyond what was ever imagined, sort of thing. And I think that applies here a little bit too. And so, but just like Sergeant Kilbreath has said, I think it's a social issue and it's right within the purview of the commission. This is the very sort of thing that the commission is designed to deal with.
Before I move on to request a motion, I just want to check with Council Doctor and again clarify on the record that we have followed the process for rulemaking. We received a petition, we voted to send it out for rulemaking. But Council Doctor, if you could just essentially give us an overview of what's been done to date and your stamp of approval, if you will, that we've been diligent following the rules under the rulemaking process.
Chair Colton, members of the commission, thank you. Yes, we, as you have adequately summarized in this circumstances, we received pursuant to a statute that allows it an individual petition for implementing the rules that the commission then approved. Put out for public comment. We took public comment according to the rules required for doing so under the Montana Administrative Procedures Act. We are then required, because this is commission authority, to do a final approval. And in that final approval, it necessarily presumes that you can also deny a rule altogether. So the op- options for the commission here before it, just like any administrative rule, would be you can amend it pursuant to the public comment that was received. You can deny it completely and it fails, or you can approve it as it was proposed, and it will become final once we then just take the administrative practical steps of filing it with the Secretary of State in a notice of adoption indicating that the commission had approved it, and it becomes final after that. And so just by summary, what you have before you is an administrative rulemaking process that could either be amended, denied, or adopted as proposed. And if that answers your question, that would be all I would have on that, Chair Bolton.
Thank you, Ms. Doctor. That answers my question, and I just always think that's important to get on the record. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopt the administrative rule banning motorized use on the Shields River from the headwaters to the confluence with the Yellowstone River and all tributaries of the Shields River.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Before I turn it over for public comment, is there any further comment, discussion, or question from the commission?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have just one, and that is that I'm going to support this proposed motion. But I think one of the reasons that I feel comfortable with the motion as proposed is because of the access that Commissioner Byworth mentioned on the Shields. I'm a little worried about the social aspects that Sergeant Kilbreth mentioned and is detailed in the proposal. And the main social issue being that there is a de facto loss of recreational access to some rivers. We're gonna next look at the Boulder River, motorized use restrictions there. I would anticipate we'll see additional proposals come forward in commission meetings ahead. And I just want to encourage the department to use these, really as an argument to accelerate fishing access, sightings, and increasing safe and I would say sort of sane recreational access in places where maybe motorized restrictions will be implemented in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner McKean. Further comment from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I wrestled over this one and the Boulder a whole lot in the last several days. Certainly the public health, safety, and welfare, are the general things that we're here to protect, with the rulemaking so forth that we have. And I think that, Commissioner Byworth does an excellent job of explaining what's going on there and the whys and wherefores, and Mr. Kilbreth as well. So it's a tough one, but it's the thing that continues to concern me is the door being open, to new technologies that are going to definitely live within some of the limitations that we currently have on some of the rivers. So the conflict between users, one thing or another, is real in a lot of different places. I know that here in Western Montana, there was some severe rules put in place on the lower Bitterroot River and on the Clark Fork River, and it really was aimed at dealing with the multiple uses that people have in the river during those time frames when you might boat a river like that. So this is a tough one for me, but I think the motion is headed in the right direction.
Thank you, Commissioner Aldridge. Further commission comment or discussion? Okay, we're going, we've taken comment, but this is rulemaking, so we take comment after a motion. So for those that are attending to make comment, *9, your hand will be raised in the queue, and either Shauna or Katie will call on you. Please announce your name, where you're from, and any groups to which you're affiliated, and we'll get that process started. So public comment, *9.
Chair Colt and members of the commission, this is Katie Gangstead helping out with the comments today. We do have several people that would like to comment.
Thank you. And I'll just call out the last three. The only identifier I have is the last three of the phone number, and that's 066 is person next up, 066.
Yeah, good morning, commissioners, Chairman Colton. This is Dan Vermillion on the I Live Up to Shields. As always, it's good to hear your guys' voices and your deliberations. And just wanted to appear today to thank you guys for taking a hard look at this and for acknowledging the balancing act you're trying to undertake, but also seeing that this is a petition that is broadly supported from this community that lives up the Shields. And understanding that one of the things that makes the Shields different from the Boulder is the fact that there are several accesses. We all wish there were more, but there are enough accesses along the river, much like on the Boulder below the East Boulder Bridge down to the confluence of the Yellowstone, where there's enough access in there that folks can get rafts, inner tubes onto the river. And in the Shields case, of course, they can float down there. In the summer, this happens quite a bit. This year, it happened a lot more. So this river is getting more and more use, and the increasing risk of conflict is growing. And I think that you're very smart and prudent to get ahead of this and to set it up so that safety is maintained. And I'm going to appear later during the public comment session, but also just wanted to thank all of you guys for your service. Welcome Andrew McKean to the commission, and wish you the best in your meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Vermillion. Appreciate your thoughtful engagement on this issue and everything else. Next commenter is 710. So there we go.
Hello, this is Jeff Welch. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Welch, we can.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Jeff Welch. I'm one of the original petitioners before you. And I, before we submitted this petition, I contacted many of my neighbors here. And I think, as was previously said, we had about 50 people sign on to the original letter in support of this ban of motorized travel. As Dan had previously said, you know, this is not an access issue. It's one of safety and use. There are three county bridges between the confluence of the Yellowstone and the Chadbourne Diversion Dam. And plus, there's also a state-run FWP fishing access site. So there are plenty of access points on the river. I think the question really is this an appropriate use on a river that is so small? And we would contend that it's not. The stream flow gauge for the river is near my property. I've seen the boats traveling in October, which, as you know, is a very low flow time. So they're capable of traveling when there's very little water in the river. And that, in our view, is what creates the potential for safety. So we would encourage you to support this ban. And I appreciate your time and energy and thought towards this effort.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Further public comment, *9, and I'll identify you by your phone number.
Chair Colton, members of the commission, I'm seeing no further public comment.
Okay. Seeing no further comment, I'll bring it back to the commission for any final comments or questions.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment. I am going to support this motion for safety reasons. As I stated earlier, I have some concerns about when we get into limiting recreational use. But I think with all I've heard and visited with people, the safety is a big concern, and also the increasing technology that we're seeing that could cause additional safety problems on this stream. So with that, I am going to support this petition.
Thank you, Vice Chair Stuper. Any further comments from the commission? Just real briefly, I think we've always shown a desire to stay ahead of some of this technology that we think is maybe either unfair or is going to create conflict. I applaud the commission for that. I think it goes back to what Pat was saying about, you know, the legacy that we've inherited from folks like Posowitz and others as to how we manage this, our various resources. And I do think we need to get ahead of this technology, and the Shields is a small body of water, plenty of other ways to access it. And so I'm in support of this and appreciate the thoughtfulness in which the petitioner brought the rule forward. So with that, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Once again, thank you. We'll move into our next item, which is the proposed archery let-off rule.